So one of my favorite musicals is Stephen Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George. Anyone? Yeah, if you haven't seen it, I don't know, it's on YouTube or something. Check it out, it's great. I'm sure I have probably mentioned it before. It's based on the painting by George Seurat called A Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jatte. Sondheim gives personalities to each of the people in the painting, including the dogs. But the primary character is the artist himself, who chooses his expression, his art, his craft, over the people in his life, working fastidiously to finish elements of his paintings as the people he loves and cares for go off and do their things together. He is driven by his passion to create. At one point, it's a pointillist painting, and he's tick, 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 and at the end of which he says, look, I made a hat where there never was a hat. And I remember thinking at the time, what a simple but amazingly profound awareness. I made a hat, and there never was one before. It is the essence of creativity to have expressed something that didn't exist before. A hat, a song, a dance, knitting a sweater, a piece of theater, a bundt cake, honey, jelly. I made this. I expressed myself through this event, and it was stunning. It is stunning, because before that, whatever it was didn't exist, and but for your being there and that act of creativity, it would not have been. Our Buddhist friends reminded us this morning through Amanda's story that it doesn't matter how long our pieces of creativity exist, really. Right? We in the West tend to cling to the idea of longevity, of passing down what we have painted or built or written, but in truth, it's not about what was created, but the act of creating that is amazing. So creativity is our theme for the month of May. Creativity is, by definition, a kind of exquisite opportunity or invitation to have the chance to do something that one has not done before or has not been done, to have crafted a thought or a pattern, to have an idea come to life. Creativity is generative, and exhilarating. It can also be a little intimidating. We so often tend to think of creativity as something that gifted people do. Picasso, he was creative. Michelangelo, Rembrandt, Chopin, Martha Graham, Hemingway, our poets, our architects, our engineers, they are creative people. The truth is, and we know this even though we too often forget, we are each filled with the potential for creativity. We know in our heart of hearts that even when we say, for example, I can't draw, that's irrelevant. Creativity is so much more than art. Elizabeth Gilbert, who was the author of the popular book Eat, Pray, Love, reminds us the guardians of high culture will try to convince you that the arts belong to a chosen few, but we are all the chosen few. We are all makers by design. So what is it we make then? And how is it we speak of this capacity for creativity, this process of expression that is really our lives, the art of life, as Michael wrote in this morning's offertory, peril, civility, tumult, tranquility, unceasing poetry. How shall we speak of it? Because we need to speak of it. We need to share what it is we are here to do, what it is we are here to think and to create. When Mary Oliver asks what it is we plan to do with our one wild and precious opportunity, we are reminded it's not a thought or a dream or a wondering that we want to keep only to ourselves. We are inherently relational creatures. We want to share ourselves. Who made the world, she asks us. Who made the swan and the black bear? And we find ourselves wondering and wanting to talk about it, but for the right words. It is perhaps why our second reading from scientist Stuart Kaufman suggested that in answer to the question of what most important question faces humankind, the answer is one of reinventing the sacred. Reinventing a way to bridge the ways we speak about what is most significant to us. To share what is our biggest challenge and mystery, this capacity of creativity, making sense of our living and thriving in the company of others. So for many years, the answer to the question of creation, largely thought not exclusively for the Western mind, has been God, right? Or gods, depending on the timing or the culture. Who made the swan? God made it. Who made the black bear? God. Believer or doubter, there was a construct and a vocabulary. The particular name may have varied. In some traditions, it was Brahma. In some, Elohim. In some, Allah. But there has been a vocabulary. For many, it still exists. But for many others, it feels that the vocabulary, particularly of this term or symbol God, is wanting. Certainly in our tradition, in our Unitarian Universalist tradition, the vocabulary in general and around God specifically is confused, disparate, unsettled. There was, while I was driving this morning, an On Being podcast, which later you'll see maybe makes one of my points when these things come together, right? A naturalist and journalist, Michael McCarthy, was speaking. Did anyone happen to hear it? One person, anyway. You can go back and listen to it. He was commenting on how our current philosophical system, largely more secular and humanist in the end of the 20th century and into the 21st, does not recognize the human potential for destructiveness. We have raised the capacity of our human abilities and neglected the part that is not positive, perhaps. That the legacy of humanism has been damaging as our morality has been so anthropocentric. Something has been lost, he seemed to be saying, in our lost sense of naturalistic wonder. So I commend to you his most recent book, The Moth Snowstorm. The moth snowstorm, apparently in England, was when so many moths came out at once that when you went outside, it looked like a snowstorm of moths, and apparently it no longer exists. So I've spoken to you before about the thoughts of theologian Gordon Kaufman, and his thoughts are linked in some ways to our friend Michael McCarthy's. Gordon Kaufman was a professor at Harvard Divinity School during my tenure there, and he offered an alternative, a construct of relationship he called creative serendipity, sometimes turning it into serendipitous creativity. Not unlike the naturalist theology of Unitarian Universalist Henry Nelson Wyman, who was also a 20th century voice, Kaufman helped reframe the idea of that most basic term or symbol, God. Kaufman morphed it from an anthropomorphic director of human affairs to suggest a moment in time, a capacity that we might understand God as the serendipitous creativity manifest throughout the cosmos, rather than as the creator of the world and all that is in it. It's a lot of big words. Serendipitous creativity manifest throughout the cosmos. He tells us it became evident that we humans had attained the power to destroy the very conditions that make our lives possible. And the notion that God would save us from ourselves as we pursued this self-destructive project has become increasingly implausible. Wyman also despairs the usefulness of the symbol as a distant and top-down, if you will, idea. For Wyman, sense experience, what we see and touch and taste and feel, is the primary source of human knowledge. Thus, God, too, is an object of experience, to be known as we know any other sense data. These two thinkers, Kaufman and Wyman, are theologians. In the book about Wyman, Bruce Southward wrote, "Henry Nelson Wyman was a philosopher of religion, first and foremost, attempts at conceptual clarification about God, a reality that Wyman believed to be operative as creativity in the world dominated his work." They thought about this stuff all the time. Most of us don't likely live in that highly intellectual zone on so regular a basis. And most of us have likely determined our comfort level with the idea of God that we grew up with, and we've accepted it or rejected its usefulness for ourselves. Like Kaufman, maybe, we see the ways in which old constructs don't really seem relevant to us. And even those of us who want to engage with a spirit or a mystery or something other than ourselves struggle to find a way to frame it, let alone name it, or be in conversation about it. But I actually think it is especially relevant, and it is a bit of a problem, because it leaves us, not just here at Theater Parker Church, but across the world, it leaves us unable to be in conversation or to have a common understanding about the things that are most important to us, what we might stretch to call the things that are more sacred to us. It's not a question of whether God is our word of choice, but that it is a word of choice in so many religious spheres that if we have no frame for it, no way to relate to it, we are left separated. We see that among ourselves, in this church and among our churches. So imagine my delight, and you're thinking, delight? At finding Stuart Kaufman's work. No, he has no relationship to Gordon Kaufman, by the way. Stuart Kaufman is a scientist who works with complexity theory. These also are very heady thoughts. The idea that complex and chaotic systems have order and pattern and structure. He notes the way that the advent of the Enlightenment and the emphasis on science and reason has driven a divide between worldviews. And his hope is to reintegrate them. A couple in love walking along the banks of the Seine are, in real fact, a couple in love walking along the banks of the Seine, not mere particles in motion. Bridging this divide, Kaufman writes of the sense of emergence and ceaseless creativity, partially beyond natural law, that is truly a new scientific worldview in which science itself has limits. In this, partial lawlessness is not an abyss, but unparalleled freedom, unparalleled creativity. Since reason truly is an insufficient guide, he tells us, we need to reinvent the sacred for ourselves to guide our lives based on the ultimate values we come to choose. It all feels a little complicated, doesn't it? What Stuart Kaufman is attempting, I think, is to provide a common ground of understanding for our global community, reintegrating science and spiritual life as creative forces in tandem. It is a worthy goal. He wants to put us back together. At last, there is the possibility of finding our way together with a shared value system that we jointly create, our chosen global ethic, our chosen spirituality, and our chosen sacred. We have these two challenges before us.
how to find our own path, that art of life that is each of our challenges, and how to find a common path. And it seems to me these are essentially creative challenges. In the small group ministry packet for this month that we share the topic of, right? So it's creativity, is the question, what is it that I want to create today? What if we woke up asking ourselves that question every morning? And what if we imagined that task, what do I want to create today, as a sacred one? For surely every day gives us the opportunity to create something, and why not something meaningful and of value? Something that makes us come alive, something sacred. And maybe this daily task is something with a bit of the divine inherent in it. Maybe it's a hat. For surely what we paint or knit or write or sing is sacred. Maybe it's the creative act of getting through the day. For some days, that seems pretty amazingly creative all by itself. Maybe it's a moment, a meal, a clean room, a protest poster, a decision, an exchange. Maybe it's a connection, an effort to create justice in the world. We are each and all inherently creative. If you don't think you can draw, it's irrelevant. You are, by nature, a maker of your life. And that is a profoundly sacred thing. And how then shall we speak of it, this amazing possibility, this each and every opportunity? Shall we call it God? Would that remind us of our potential to do good, to be generative, to side with love? I offer you a prayer this morning, a prayer of creation or co-creation. Creative Spirit, source of life and love, we give thanks for the beauty of this day and for the company of those who assembled here. Thank you for the breezes of change, clearing our heads and bringing fresh ideas. May they cleanse our minds of the oppressions and isms that divide us. Thank you for the flame of hope, the heart of righteous anger, the warmth of compassion, and the fire of commitment. May they bubble the cauldrons of our creativity and transformation. Thank you for oceans of love, rivers of connection, tears of relief, and pools of serenity. May healing waters flow over us and through us and among us, wearing down the sharp rocks of despair to bring joy in the morning. Thank you for the good earth beneath us, around us, and within us. May we take this clay and co-create a new realm of justice and beauty. Thank you for all these and more. We accept our gifts and commit to building, creating, sculpting, painting, singing, and dancing them to life, to abundant life. What is it you will create today? And how will you name it? May these thoughts be with you until our next Sunday.